And now continuing with a story that made headlines this weekend and also last month. Now, you may remember that in January, North Korea tested what it said was a hydrogen bomb, prompting international criticism and talk of new sanctions. Last week, North Korea launched what it said was a satellite on top of a long-range rocket. That brought even more criticism and more talk of new sanctions, and little sign that anything will change Kim Jong-un's ambition to become a full-fledged nuclear power with missiles aimed at Hawaii and the West Coast. News analyst Neil Conan joins us now from his Macnut farm on the Big Island, as he does most Tuesdays. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Now, some say this latest missile launch was timed to the celebrations of the Lunar New Year. Others say it looks more like Groundhog Day, the same exact pattern over and over again. Now, last month we talked about this after the bomb test. The House is now pressing for sanctions. Are there any sanctions yet? Has anything really changed?
No new sanctions, at least not yet. Talks continue. President Obama spoke with Chinese President Xi Jinping last week, just before this missile launch. But we seem to be in this holding pattern where China and Russia are unwilling to go along with much more than denunciations. They both talk of, you know, gross violations of Security Council resolutions and regrets, but they don't want to do anything that might destabilize the situation.
So wait a minute, don't nuclear explosions and missile tests destabilize the situation?
Indeed they do, and that's the point the U.S. is trying to make here, that North Korea's not over that weapons threshold yet, in other words, a deliverable system. But every test, every missile launch brings it closer to real nuclear weapons capability, and that's when things would get really dangerous.
Other than talking, what's President Obama actually doing?
Well, it looks like there may have been a real shift in his thinking. For many years now, U.S. policy toward North Korea was described as strategic patience. No new carrots, particularly after all the times North Korea has reneged on previous agreements, but no new sticks either. Let's see what this new leader is like. Let's work with China. Let's see if he might want to open his economy and his country to the outside world. Well, the bomb test last month seems to have put an end to all of that. Ever since, the U.S. and South Korea and Japan have all said we need to do something to change North Korea's behavior.
But other than words, though, really, what are they doing that's different?
Well, Secretary of State Kerry was in Beijing last month, just after the bomb test, and he publicly is an important word here, publicly told the Chinese if they don't agree to new tough new sanctions, the U.S. and its allies will take steps on their own, steps that China is not going to like. For starters, South Korea and maybe Japan would deploy an anti-ballistic missile system called THAAD. Every time this has come up before, China says this system is a threat to China's security. Well, China is South Korea's most important trading partner, but President Park Chung-hee clearly feels burned. She expended a huge effort wooing China with the goal of getting influence over its North Korea policy. Then, after the bomb explosion, when push came to shove, President Xi would not even take her phone call. So the U.S. and South Korea have now formally opened talks on deploying THAAD in South Korea. Japan may follow.
So how does this system compare with, say, the Patriot missiles that some of us remember from the first Gulf War?
Much longer range. The Patriots are still out there. They have been improved over the years. But these are they are point defense systems. They cover up, they defend a footprint of maybe 30 to 50 miles. THAAD, which stands for Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, the THAAD system covers something like 200 miles. And these are mobile systems. They're mounted on big trucks, essentially, 8 launchers per battery. But what China seems most concerned about is the radar system that comes along with it. There's part of the radar is forward deployed to detect and track missile launches. If you put that right on the 38th parallel, it will be able to monitor missiles not just in North Korea, but deep into China as well.
And that's one thing that China really wouldn't like.
No. And the other step we're hearing about is secondary sanctions. That means not just sanctions on North Korean companies, but on any company that does business with those North Korean companies. As a practical matter, that means Chinese companies, and that would hurt. These are the kind of sanctions that proved effective with Iran. This the U.S. also can do on its own. It doesn't need to go through the U.N. We're not to that point yet, but that's what Secretary Kerry was talking about in Beijing.
So what makes North Korea so important to China that it would risk relations with South Korea, much less with the U.S.?
Well, that's kind of the million-dollar question. China clearly disapproves of young Kim. President Xi has yet to visit Pyongyang. Kim has not been invited to Beijing. After Secretary Kerry's visit, a senior Chinese official did go to Pyongyang to tell the North Koreans not to go ahead with this missile launch. Obviously, that failed, and has that's a humiliation. It's a slap in the face from North Korea to China. There was a survey, this is interesting, on Weibo, that's the Chinese equivalent to Twitter, which asked, would you support a U.S. military strike to take out North Korea's nuclear weapons program? And over 60% of those who responded said they would. Now, we can't take that as a reflection of public opinion overall, and certainly not of opinion of the Communist Party leadership. The poll was quickly taken down by censors. But it does suggest that public support in China for North Korea is less than overwhelming. In terms of why they, there's communist solidarity. These are comrades in arms from the Korean War. There's sort of an ideological question, if Mao Zedong would defend North Korea, how can Xi Jinping do any less? There's some concern that real sanctions would make North Korea turn on its old ally and become a hostile state right on its border. But what you hear most is fear of a North Korean collapse, which might well be very bloody, which could send millions of refugees across the border into China, and which could lead to a unified Korea, a pro-American Korea right on China's border. And so far, nothing that the U.S. and its allies have done or even threatened to do seems to convince China that it's willing to risk that.
You're making a good argument for them, but if South Korea and maybe Japan were to deploy the anti-missile system, could we see a true arms race now?
I think we are seeing an arms race already on the level of conventional weapons. China's buildup continues, particularly its naval buildup. The U.S. is talking about basing a second aircraft carrier battle group in the Western Pacific. Of course, there's already one in Japan. Australia is buying new submarines and new ships. Japan's defense budget was just hiked up. The U.S. is about to go back into the Philippines. Now, that's all conventional weapons. Some people in South Korea say, we can no longer rely on the United States for strategic defense, and we should go ahead and develop nuclear weapons of our own. So far, that's just talk. But if that ever happened, that would be a major change.
Okay, so for the moment, let's just end that part of our conversation there. But I cannot let you go away without a quick question on the activities of today. What you think might happen in New Hampshire?
I'm predicting snow in New Hampshire today.
Thank you very much.
Well, I couldn't distract you with Armageddon. All right, I think Donald Trump is going to win. But by less than some of the polls suggest. I do not think he gets 30% of the Republican vote. And I'm guessing that John Kasich and Marco Rubio come in second and third, I think in that order. Bernie Sanders wins the Democratic primary, I think by double digits. So buckle up for a long march to the nomination.
Okay, now before we even say goodbye, I want to ask you about one more thing. Michael Bloomberg, billionaire former mayor of New York, he says he's thinking about a run. Do you think we're actually going to see that happen with a third party?
Well, Mayor Bloomberg has made it pretty clear that he does see an opening if Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders get the nominations. So, not likely, but maybe. That old Chinese expression, we live in interesting times.
Exactly. And some of us are getting so wrapped up in them being so very interesting, and we will do that more when we talk next. Thanks, Neil.
Talk to you next week, Bethann.
News analyst Neil Conan joins us most Tuesdays from the farm, and you can also hear his Pacific News Minutes right here on Hawaii Public Radio.